So good, as it always is. These times seem quite special.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
I don't know what it is, but hallelujah.
Amen.
Good to be here, and if the Lord so leads, we should come back together again in the spring. You know, saints, I just want to say one thing off the top. This message this morning is where my real burden is. And I was just struck as we were reading through the verses, and we could have read a lot more, how we see things through the lens of the large meeting. You understand what I'm trying to say? Russell, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, when we read, for example, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is," we have the tendency to look at that verse and other verses through the lens of a large meeting. But as we read the verses, you realize that in the beginning of the church life was small. Doesn't mean there were not a lot of people, but the gatherings were small. They were from house to house. And unless you've got a real big house, that will be a relatively small group. And the Lord would be there to meet with you and to do all that he has in his heart through you, smaller group. I don't know how this is going to go. Please don't sit there as a jury weighing my statements, but be open. What we are sharing this morning is the result, you could say, of the 12 last years of Brother Lee's life. And you could say that this was his ministry very much during those last 12 years of his life. And there was one brother, I don't know how he found out. He found out that in the last 12 years of Brother Lee's life, 50% of all his speaking was on the so-called God-ordained way. 50%. The other 50% for other things, including the high peak of the divine revelation, the life study, crystallization, whatever else he was doing. But 50% was on the God-ordained way, the bullseye of which is our subject this morning. This is a further word on life and service for the building up of the body of Christ. And this morning we're considering the vital groups and our life and service for the building up of the body of Christ. Brother Lee, I want to tell you, was burdened. And I guess part of my burden, the last visit, was to get that across to you by reading so many quotes. You remember? I was just reading those quotes. To impress you with how burdened Brother Lee was. Remember, Brother Lee, he is the one through whom the Lord brought his recovery to this country. And he is the one through whom God realized the ministry of this age. And he's speaking 50% on this particular matter. That statistic alone should alert you that this is important.
Amen.
And whatever we've heard or perhaps tried, we need to be willing to drop. And of course, what I'm sharing this morning is like a drop in the ocean. This particular matter will take much, much prayer, especially. Much, much prayer, much, much fellowship, much, much coordination, much, much looking unto the Lord, step by step. But you know what the ultimate issue is? The building up of the body of Christ. I made a statement the other night, or day, whatever it was, can't remember, about our singing, or our, you know, sometimes we get emotional, you know, concerning Lord Jesus, come back, Lord Jesus, come back. Sometimes, you know, you're having a hard time, you know, you like to get out of your hard time, so you say, Lord, come back. Am I right? Sometime it is just a matter of, you know, we get emotional, and we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Come, Lord Jesus. This is nearly the last verse in the Bible. John said that. Of course, John said that probably within a certain context and with a certain view and with a certain expectation. And, you know, I've often considered, you know, come, Lord Jesus. And, you know, we should pray this. We should have this feeling within us. But on the other hand, saints, you know, the Lord is like a thief who is going to come eventually to steal something precious. The Lord, when he comes back, will not come back for something below his standard. When the Lord comes back, he will come back for something that meets his requirement. And what is that something? The building up of the body of Christ / the preparation of the bride. That is what will bring the Lord back. So, you know, over these last, you know, Brother Lee, hard to believe, he helped me so much, you know, as a younger and then not so young brother. Hard to believe he's been gone for 24 years. Sorry to talk about Brother Lee. I'm not ashamed of the Lord, and I'm not ashamed of the Lord's co-worker. It's been 24 years since Brother Lee went away, and, you know, before, right up until the time he went away, he was so burdened for this. But as we look at the situation today, it seems like our eyes are heavy and our ears are dull concerning this particular matter. He gave us the blueprint for the building up of the body of Christ. Practically. He gave us the blueprint. So, you know, when I hear people emotionally, oh, come Lord. You know, I feel like, you know, the Lord could, if he would drop down, you know, just drop down and say, I'd like to come back, but I'm waiting for my body to be built up. And I gave you the blueprint, and what have you done with it? I'm sorry, saints. Well, you know, I'll tell you a little bit more. When I go back, I have to do a class for the full-time training in London. I've continued to go there. When I was in Anaheim for almost 24, 25 years, I was teaching in the middle-age training. Anybody here go through the middle-age training? Hallelujah. That's right. Middle age training. One-on-one. Right? Holy Word for Morning Revival. I worked on that for almost 15 years. Yeah. I was one of the two brothers that put that out for y'all. I was real busy. But after I moved, I'm not so busy. But one thing I didn't give up is the full-time training in London, because I'm burdened for Europe. So I was signing up for this fall's term. And I was expecting to do the God's Economy class, which I always do. God's Economy from the Book of Acts. Very interesting. Very striking, I would say. But I was late in responding to the invitation. So somebody else took that slot, that class. And initially, I wasn't happy about it. And I looked at what was left. And there was one class, I didn't have any feeling about that. And then there was another class called The God-Ordained Way. I'd never taught it. But the Lord within me, you know, read my lips. Amen. Amen. So I said amen. And so I've been preparing for this class. What an unveiling. Amen. You know, I brought a book. I'm no longer employed by the Living Stream. But I'd like to show you a book that I would encourage y'all to read. And that is Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. What kind of need?
Urgent.
Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. I'm not here advertising. I'm not getting a commission. But saints, you need, if the Lord leads you, perhaps to read this book. I've pre-recorded six of my classes already. Never have I experienced the presence and the leading of the Lord's Spirit as much as I have experienced doing this class. I pre-recorded six messages on Zoom, and I was there, and it's just the Lord, it's just like the Lord was, you know, we were just like together, and the Lord was saying, you know, bring this in, emphasize this, you know, I'm serious. I never had such an experience, which showed me the Lord is really burdened about this. And so when I go back from Jackson, boy, isn't this a nice hall? I have to do six live classes. And by live, I mean 7:30 their time, 1:30 my time. I mean PM. And then 2:00 their time, PM, 8:00 my time, AM. Another six. And I'm looking forward to the same experience. I'm expecting it. Let me read to you some of the points of the very first outline. May I?
Amen.
Point one, we need to realize, this is directly from Brother Lee's quote, that our present situation is very desperate. And we need to take Haggai's word and consider our ways. Consider our ways. You know, we have our ways, but God has the God-ordained way, singular. And then another point. The rate of increase among us is high initially, but slows when the number attending the meetings reaches a certain point. And you might say, well, that's not the case here. Well, Brother Lee mentioned, when the number gets to 100, he observed this over years and years and years and years. When it comes to 100, stops. Then here is a blockbuster point. We are healthy in our teaching, but we are not healthy in our practice. Shall I read that again? We are healthy in our teaching, and I think we can all say amen. Are we not? And we're happy about it. But there's another part of the equation. We are not healthy in our practice, with the result that the treasures we have among us remain hidden because of our shortage in our practice. And there is nothing in our meetings to attract new ones to remain. And then one more. The group meetings, Brother Lee came to this conclusion, in the homes are the lifeline of the God-ordained way to practice the church life. The meetings in the home are the lifeline for what God considers the way to practice the church life. You know, saints, you know what I feel like this morning? I feel like there's this big wall. And I'm, you know, my job is to break it. But I've got a little ball peen hammer. But anyway, I'm going to hammer. Vital groups, group meetings, small, small, small. Brother Lee came to such a conclusion. Roman numeral 5, the vital groups are A. I debated whether to say A or the, but I decided I'll just say A, proper setting, listen, for our growth in life and our perfecting in service. It is a setting. Don't we want to grow in life? Amen. Don't we want to serve the Lord?
Yes.
Don't we want our disposition to be dealt with?
Yes.
Don't we want to give food at the proper time?
Yes.
Don't we want all the things that we've mentioned this weekend?
Yes.
There's a proper setting.
Yes.
I would say a biblical setting. Oh, Lord Jesus. And in that setting will take place, in large part, not exclusively, the building up of the body of Christ. The next point says personal testimony. I may have shared some of this the last time, but there's a lot of people here today that were not here in April, when we were in the house with the Zoom. And the personal testimony is this. In 1984, I believe, or 85, I received a call from Brother Lee. He was about to give the training, the semi-annual training in Irving, Texas. And he asked me to come down early to fellowship, because, you know, my field is Latin. When you talk about, you know, you talk about, you know, in this age, you're going that way. And in my studies, I went that way. But anyway, this particular time, Brother Lee says, Paul, could you come down a little early and have some fellowship about the word Trinitas? That's a Latin word, and that's where we get our word Trinity, Trinitas. So, you know, I got into it a little bit, prepared something, and I went down there, and, you know, I met with Brother Lee, and I gave him my little thing about Trinitas, you know. And then after that, you know, I thought, well, that's it. Brother Lee said he didn't want me to go. You know, Brother Lee knew me since I came into the recovery. And I heard from another brother, I'm not boasting, he said, Brother Lee really treasures you. So Brother Lee knew me, perhaps he treasured me. But anyway, he had a question. And his question was this. He said, Paul, why do you think that the rate of increase in the Lord's recovery is so low? And saints, you have to realize, you know, it's an increase. Increase is a matter of life. Is it not?
Amen.
Are you paying attention to me?
Yeah.
You know, increase is a matter of life. Abide in the vine, bear fruit. Increase is a matter of life. But I wasn't thinking in those terms in that visit. So Brother Lee asked me, why do you think the rate of the increase is so low? And I had thought about it. And my thought was, was this. And, I this is what I told Brother Lee. I said, well, Brother Lee, you know, when I and so many others, you know, Minoru and David Dong, you know, and, you know, some of these brothers, when we came in to the Lord's recovery, you know, it was a time of flux in the United States. You know, you had the hippies and people were dropping out of, you know, this, dropping out of that, dropping out of religious things, dropping out of social things, dropping out of economic things, just dropping out. So it was a fluid situation. And we would get a lot of people that were coming to the meetings during that time. And some stayed, sorry to say, probably more left. But anyway, my thought and my word to Brother Lee was, well, Brother Lee, you know, during that time, you know, of the hippies, you know, everything was loose in this country. And, you know, so we had a lot of people coming in. Of course, the door of the church is open both ways. And then I said, well, now in the 1980s, the hippies have become the yuppies. Have you ever heard of the yuppies? You've heard of them. The yuppies are the hippies turning 180 degrees. You know, the hippies dropped out. The yuppies go right back in. And they want a better car because they're sick of fixing their broken down junk. They want a better car, a better house, a better job, better, better, better. So they come in, and as a result, they are closed, closed, closed. So what I was saying to Brother Lee, you know, about the low increase, it's their fault. Think about it. You know, I was telling him, well, brother, it's their fault. Right? You know, they were open, now they're closed. It's their fault. And I wasn't considering at all our situation in the Lord's recovery. Well, Brother Lee didn't say anything. You know, he just filed away, you know, my comments, no doubt. And he may have heard it before. But then later, I heard something that really struck me, and I connected it with my time with Brother Lee. Brother Lee told a group of brothers, I wasn't there at the time. He said, I'm not as concerned. You know, they were talking about the outward opposition to the Lord's recovery. And he said, I'm not as concerned with the outward opposition as I am with the deadness of the saints. And after I heard that, then I put two and two together. I said, low increase is from dead saints. Am I getting through to you? No vitality. Oh, Lord Jesus. The deadness of the saints. So we come to point two, point B in the outline. The recovery today needing vitality.
Amen.
You know what vitality means? Life.
Amen.
You know, well, back to Latin again. You know, I'm not so sorry I studied Latin. You know, in Latin we have this word. You know, the Anglophones would say vita, but correctly in Latin, it's vita, V-I-T-A, from which we get vital, vitality. Vita in Latin means life.
Amen.
So the recovery today needs vitality. excuse me. The recovery needs a vital church life. And saints, you know, as you sit there, you can consider, is the church life vital? To some extent. But for sure, it could be more vital. Am I right? Vital to the extent that it's attractive. You know, we always think, oh, the meetings, if they're real living, you know. When I came in, I'm sorry, saints. I'm not sorry. I came into the Lord. I'm happy. I came into the Lord's recovery in the late 1960s to Eldon Hall. And at that time, my goodness, it is just vitality, vitality, vitality. That was my first taste. And I can never forget it.
Amen.
I'll tell you more about how it was. I'm not saying we go back there, but we need that vitality.
Amen.
We need that vitality in the church life. Saints, what, you know, we have this phrase, the God-ordained way. Let me ask you, the God-ordained way for what? People have different views. You know, some, they heard about it in a superficial way and they thought, oh, the God-ordained way. That is the way to get the increase. That is a real short circuit. That's part of it. But there's way, way, way more. What is the God-ordained way for? You tell me. Yeah, that's the goal. But what is the means to reach the goal? The God-ordained way is the God-ordained way to have the church life.
Amen.
And saints, a church life, let me put it this way, that is 24/7. You know what that means? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mentioned in a previous message that for many of us, our church life is slotting in a few big meetings into our schedule and calling that the church life. I would submit to you, saints, Lord, cover me, that is a degraded view. You know, that's not a life. Church life is a life. It's your life. It's my life. It's the church life. Am I getting through?
Amen.
The church life. It's not my schedule slotting in a few meetings. It's my whole life.
Amen.
It's my whole life.
Amen.
And saints, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied until, I'm convinced of it, until we really get into this. A life. A life. The church life.
Amen.
Life. I'm not getting very far here in the outline, but I don't care. We need a church life that is vital. We need a vital church life.
Amen.
Hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
A vital 24/7 church life.
Amen.
How about that? A church life.
Amen.
Then listen to this next point. It's a blockbuster. Here is a kind of an unpacking of the word vitality. Vitality, listen to this, is not only to be living, but also to be active.
Amen.
I'd like to repeat that. Vitality, to be vital, is not only to be living, that's life, but also to be active, that's service.
Amen.
Vitality, living and active. How about we all declare those two words, living and active?
Living.
Sisters.
Living.
Brothers.
Living.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's vitality. We're not just living, 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 and doing nothing. I'm living. I'll take your word for it. I'm living. We're not only living, we're active. This is the vital church life. Oh, Lord. I hope I live through this message. Oh, Lord. You know, do you just abide in the vine to abide in the vine? Oh, I'm living. You know, don't misunderstand me. You know, we got this abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. All the riches of God's life are mine. I don't belittle that, but it needs a few more verses. You know, that's to be living, 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 quote, quote, living, living, living. But we also need to be active. You need to bear fruit. There's always these two sides. We need both. We need life. We need service. We need living. We need active. Saints, what does your spirit say to what I'm speaking?
Amen.
I think so.
Amen.
Two, well, we're making some progress. The needed vitality, being living and active, will issue in longed for increase, shepherding and building up.
Amen.
I'd like us all to read that point. Two under B.
The needed vitality will issue in
Don't we long for the increase? I mean, the genuine increase. Don't we long for the shepherding, which is a major component of the last revival before the Lord comes back? Don't we long for that? Don't we long for the building? You know, see, we say about the building, but it seems like we're doing nothing actually and practically for the building. Who are you related with? Who are you built up with? Who can you fellowship with at any time? Right? You understand what I'm trying to say? We've got a lot of terminology, but we need some reality. Lord, forgive me, saints. I'm not a politician. I'm just telling it like it is. Well, for the needed vitality, you know, the God-ordained way, of course, is not cheap. It's not just a matter of reading that book, although that will help to unveil you, no doubt, and to point you in a particular direction. But the God-ordained way is not cheap. You know, there's dealing. I shared this last spring. There's dealing. There's digging. There's unloading. Remember? Remember I shared that? Some of you weren't here. Saints, you know, we're all like a well. We got the living water in us. But is it really gushing out? Question mark. Why is it not? You can't say there's no water. But the water, the flow, over time has been reduced. It may only be a trickle. In your heart of hearts, you know where you are. We need a lot of unloading. Just like Isaac redug the wells that Abraham had dug because the Philistines had come in and filled up the well. Philistines, you know, stand for natural, religious, worldly. A lot of natural things, worldly things, religious things clog up our system and restrict the flowing out of the water of life. So for the God-ordained way, for the vital groups, the proper setting for our life and service, we need a lot of dealing and unloading. Brother Lee, when I was driving him that summer between cities, he gave me his testimony. And one thing I remember, it was either after he got saved or before he began to serve full time. Brother Lee said that the Lord led him to go up to a mountain, a hill. I don't know what Brother Lee considered a mountain, but he went up to the top of it and he spent hours there doing what? Confessing. Confessing, unloading, right? Just hour, and I think he kept going back day after day after day. You know, it's interesting. Brother, he really got unloaded. He got unloaded. Well, you know, that's why Brother Lee, for all these years, was a gusher. He was a gusher every time he spoke. Really? Because he spent that time, and over the years, he maintained the flow. You know, we had this flow in Los Angeles where the new ones were coming, and the Spirit led many of us. We were all from Christianity here and there, and the Spirit led a lot of us to demonstrate our desire to bury the past and to rise up and be in the church life in a new way. And the way was to get into the baptistry and, you know, get immersed, buried. That's not your baptism. But the Spirit used that as a vehicle. And then somebody asked Brother Lee, they noticed, well, Brother Lee, everybody's getting buried. Why didn't you get buried? You know what Brother Lee said? Because I never got old.
And why is that? He just kept himself unloaded. And, you know, the unloading is also to confess thoroughly. Saints, we can be careless. We've done things. We've said things. We neglected to do things. We need a thorough confession. You know, an unloading, a thorough confession. Get all the dirt out. Spring up well with water. Dig the dirt entirely. We have him. Spring up well with water. And then after, kind of on the negative side, we practice, you know, with our cleaned out system to be revived every day. This is part of the so-called biblical way to have the church life. It's not cheap. You get revived every day. Yesterday doesn't work today. Every day we are revived. And then we live a life based upon all of what I've mentioned here. We live a life. Brother Lee called it an overcoming daily life. Also known as the God-man living. And you know, saints, we are, you know, we've been unloaded. And you know, you feel so light. Ooh, ooh, it's wonderful. You know, I go to Howie. Howie comes to me. You know, this is wonderful. We've unloaded. We've confessed. We're revived daily. We're living a daily life. And then comes the realization. Oh, this is the real Christian life. I like to do this. I like to find someone else. I like to find someone else that is having this same experience. Am I right? I tell you, the Spirit is the one that gives you that thought. I like to find someone else who paid the price to unload, to confess, to be revived, and to live the life. Amen. You find somebody else. Saints, that's the beginning of a vital group. Amen. It's not that the elders say, well, you know, Todd, I think you and, you know, some of the saints, you become a vital group. No, a vital group is vital. It's organic. The grouping spirit, if I could use that expression, the grouping spirit comes in to give you leading to join yourself with someone else. Saints, please hear me out. Don't tune me out. Then you and your companion begin to pray together. You don't talk, you pray. You know, saints, if we just come together, oh, hallelujah, thank you, grouping spirit. You know, that now we come together and we just talk. You know, a lot of the talk will just be the old man. You know why we need to pray on the negative side? We need to make sure that old man is in the tomb. That's why we pray. Brother, we told the elders one time, he said, brothers, I know how you operate. He said, you come together and you pray for 10 minutes, and then you spend 2 hours going through your agenda. You know why it takes 2 hours? Because you got a lot of old men sitting there with their opinions and trying to hammer something out. Brother Lee said it would be much better if you prayed for an hour and a half. And then he said, you can do your business in 20 minutes. So saints, the first thing when the companions come together is to pray, pray, pray. That was one of Brother Lee's favorite expressions. Pray, pray, pray. Not just pray. Pray, pray, pray. It's like the triune prayer. Pray, pray, pray. When I was moving to Anaheim, you know, I was fellowshipping with Brother Lee, calling him, you know, and, you know, back and forth. And his last three words before I moved were, pray, pray, pray. We pray. We fellowship. Now we fellowship because the old man has been entombed. So there's only one man left, the new man. I love this divine mathematics. You know, within us, there's two men. When you pray yourself into the spirit, the death of Christ is in the spirit, and that death of Christ is applied to that old man. So the only man that's left is the new man. In the new man, in the spirit, we fellowship. Amen. Are y'all following me?
Amen.
You know, this is the price to pay. I'm not here to, you know, wave some flag, vital groups, vital groups, vital groups, and leave you with the impression that it is something superficial. No, there's a price, right? We pray and we fellowship. This is the vital group. The Lord will add one or two more, and you will keep doing the same thing. And saints, eventually, you know, let's look at it from the Lord's side. You know, the Lord has not 4,000, but four. You know, not 400,000, but four. And the Lord is there. They're unloaded. They're vitalized. They're praying. They're fellowshipping. They will become my, you could say, my hands, my feet, and my mouth to do on the earth today what I did when I was on the earth. Did you catch that?
Yes.
You know, the vital group will do today what the Lord did. In other words, they are his continuation.
Amen.
His life increase, his spread. And let me ask you, what did the Lord do when he was on the earth? Everybody's thinking, what did he do? Oh, come on. I'm looking for the core. He went out to people. Think about it. Preaching, healing, feeding the 5,000, right? All those things, going out to people. He wasn't sitting in his mansion, you know, directing Peter, go to Capernaum. James, hop to it, James. I'd like you to go across the Sea of Galilee. You can take my boat. Forget that. Forget all of that. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That means he was a person of no fixed address. He was a person that was always on the move. This is our Christ. Saints, are you following me? This is our Christ.
Amen.
And this is what he would love to do still today.
Amen.
Do you realize the Acts of the Apostles had no conclusion? Paul was there preaching the kingdom. And there's no conclusion. That means it keeps on going. It should keep on going. We had the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and then continuing on in Acts of the Apostles, we had the apostles acting, living and active. No conclusion. What does that mean? It should still be going on today. But it hasn't been. Well, point C, there are some bothering symptoms of the lack of vitality today. And what are these symptoms? At least they bother me. Unattractive meetings. Being late to meetings. Empty front row seats. Gaps in the meeting. And a low morale. Plus excuses not to attend the meetings. Think about it. These are some symptoms. Does that sound like living and active? Surely it is not. But these are some bothering symptoms. Saints, again I say, I saw something I can never forget. And it was versus all the things that I just mentioned. In Los Angeles, the meetings were so attractive, you didn't want to miss one. I mean, really, you did not, you would miss everything else, but not the meeting. I'm serious. Because you would really miss something. No one was late. You know, we had an experience one time where Brother Lee was going to ask the saints their feeling about migrating to certain cities. And this was the first time in the United States that we had had a migration. So, you know, some of us brothers said, well, we better get there, you know, an hour and 15 minutes early so that we can get a good seat, maybe even the front row. So, you know, we went there an hour and 15 minutes before the meeting. You know where we ended up? The sixth row. I'm serious. In those days, if you wanted to sit on the front row, you had to get there at least a half an hour before the scheduled starting time. These are symptoms. But it doesn't have to be that way, dear saints. No gaps in the meeting. You had to fight. You had to fight to get your little prayer in.
Right.
Or a pray reading. You have to give it to, you know, there's a lot of. It's just like yesterday, Mike Redmond, he kept trying to get up. I said, hallelujah. Mike, keep trying. That is a good sign. He couldn't get up. Eventually, he did get up. Right. Gaps, no gaps, high morale, no excuse not to come. I can never forget it. I'm sorry, saints. You know, who knows how much more time I have. Eventually, all of us witnesses with a small W of what happened there will be gone. And then people won't really know what happened. Brother Lee called that one of the great revivals in church history. We were there. We saw it. D, in his last 12 years, Brother Lee progressed along to find the biblical way, the new way, the God-ordained way. Same thing. Different titles. The biblical way to have the vital church life. He combed through the New Testament yet again. Looking for the way, the biblical way, they had the church life in the New Testament. Because he wasn't happy with what he saw in the Lord's recovery today. I've already gone through that. He was desperate because he's an older man. He didn't know how much more time he had. He was desperate. I told Brother Russell before the meeting, when he was giving the messages on the vital groups, one night, you know, this was his third attempt to share on the vital groups. I showed you his first attempt. fellowship concerning the urgent need. Then he did another one, the training and practice of the vital groups. Still didn't pick it up. Then he did another one. Sister Darlene and I, we were there. And the book that came out was The Vital Groups. That was his third time. And during that time, one night, he said, saints, to the audience who had been listening, the audience who had been receiving his life studies, right, for so many years, who had so much deposited in them, high in teachings, but pathetic in practice, he told them, he said, saints, if you don't get into this in the next 6 months, this was in the fall of 96. He said, if you don't get into this within the next 6 months, he says, I have nothing more to say. That's not in the book. But when I heard that, I said, what? You know, does that mean Brother Lee's not going to speak anymore? Oh, sound the alarm. Oh. No, he didn't mean that. He meant, I'm not going to talk anymore about the vital groups, because talking about the vital groups to you is like playing the music to the cows. And the sad part is that in 6 months, Brother Lee became ill with the illness that eventually took him away. It worsened. And by the spring, 6 months later, by the spring of 97, he was in his last days. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, as he combed through the New Testament, here is what he found. Under point D, one, we should not only have a high vision, but a strong practice in the recovery. We stress vision a lot, and we should, and we'll continue to. But we need an equally strong practice in the Lord's recovery. We need the balance. There's always two sides. Last night we shared. God operates, we cooperate. There's two sides. Am I right? Life service. You eat, you exercise. Right? If you don't exercise, something will happen, which will be apparent to all. We need the balance. Two, we need the high vision. We need the strong practice. Number two, as vitalized persons. Oh, I love that. As vitalized persons. Saints, are you a vitalized person?
Amen.
You should pray to the Lord right now, not out loud, but Lord, I want to be a vitalized person.
Amen.
You know, that's the beginning of recovery. As vitalized persons, our emphasis, listen, is moving from the hall to the home. That doesn't mean we get rid of the hall. But in our concept, we need to go smaller. You know, we have been relying on the big meetings in this country nearly from the beginning. Our emphasis, Brother Lee said this, moving from the hall to the home, from big to small. You know, it's something. In so many verses, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning. You know, for example, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as the custom of some is. And I always read that verse thinking about big meetings. Don't forsake. But eventually I realized in the New Testament, all the meetings, nearly at least 80% of the meetings were in the homes. Are you following me? That was the church life. And so everything written nearly is written in the context of home meetings. When it talks about the church life, it has the home meetings in mind. It has a smaller group in mind. And I tell you, when you have a smaller group, it is very hard for you to forsake the assembling of yourself together, because each one of you will always be exhorting, encouraging one another. You will be connected vitally. You will be built. You understand what I'm saying, saints? We need a change in view. I'm not saying throw out the big meetings. We need the big meetings. You know, as the Lord leads, the Lord has provided us this hall. Hallelujah. We're having big meetings right now, right? This is the last one for a while. We need to come together to prophesy that the church would be built up. But Brother Lee said 80% of the church life should be in the homes. Amen. Have you ever heard that? I'll say it again. 80% of the church life should be in the homes. You know, Russell, I don't know how Brother Lee came to that percentage, but I think as he combed through the New Testament, he realized, my goodness, a large majority from house to house. You know, that phrase, the verses we read, house to house, house to house, house to house, the church in their home, the church in their home. You know, he was addressing, you know, to Aquila and Priscilla and the church in their home. This is how it was at the beginning. They were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers from house to house. That is the beginning of the church life. You know, you look at your recovery version outline. Right above Acts 2:42, you know, in the outline, it says, the beginning of the church life. You need to go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning and see what was there. House to house, to house to house. A very manageable unit. A dynamic unit. I can't do it justice in one meeting. But saints, we need a change in our thinking. The large meetings are not the be-all and end-all of the church life. The Lord is calling us, I believe, to go small. This is what Brother Lee found out as he combed through the New Testament. From general to more specific. You know, in Ephesians 4:16, it's very interesting, that verse. We all know it. It says, holding the head in verse 15. And then in verse 16, it says, out from whom? And then it talks about the joints of the rich supply. And then it talks about the operation and the measure of each one part. It talks about joining, something more general. And then it talks about knitting, something more specific. We need both, but especially, dear saints, we need the knitting. We need the each one part. Each one part.
Amen.
Each one part.
Amen.
I like to shout that. Can you have that with 200 people? No. No, only a small majority could open their mouth to function. But in a home, everybody can. Each one part. Each one part. Knitting, knitting, knitting. You know, the framing is general. And in the large meetings, in the conferences, in the trainings, we have a lot of framing for the building. But what we need is the finer work of the knitting. Are you following me?
Yes.
Would you like me to leave? Stop and leave? We need the knitting, each one part. Very hard in a large gathering, but when you have eight people, right? Richard, I know you're burdened for this. When you have eight people, each one part, each one part. Building, 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 building. In this group, in that group, in this group, in that group. Each one part, building, building, building. Related, related, related. Intimately, intimately, intimately. You can't do that in a big meeting. You know, the big meeting ends and, you know, I say, well, hallelujah, Jim Spade. See you next Wednesday. That's it. Get in your car and go home. You follow me? You can do some knitting. Hallelujah, in these meetings, at least we can go and, you know, eat cookies. And I tried this morning, but the word from the Lord was N-O. N-O-N, if you're French. No, right? You know, when you do that, there's a little bit of an opportunity. But saints, then you have to come and listen to me. And then you go home. Well, wait a minute, we're going to have a meal. You can do a little more. That's good. But for our life, we need something more.
Amen.
And saints, one more point before I go on. I don't know what time it is. I don't know how I'm doing. The Lord has allowed COVID. You know, I wondered why. And when it first came out, I said, Lord, get rid of this. That was my prayer. Lord, stop this. You know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating your move and whatever else. But then, you know, it stayed. So my prayer changed. And I said, Lord, get what you're after out of this situation.
Amen.
One thing it did, it got us more to the home. Whether it was by Zoom or not, it got us small. Am I right?
Yes.
It got us small.
Yes.
And I don't know how much longer we're going to be harassed by this thing. You know, but I do believe the Lord has something, you know, forget about the world and what their take on is. The Lord has his purpose. And he's even using COVID. Then number three, in the vital groups, in the small groups, listen, we have number three, the normality and the necessity of four things: begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and prophesying for building up. I like to repeat these: the normality and the necessity of begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and prophesying. I shared the other day, or yesterday probably, about the questions the Lord might ask at the judgment seat. And in Brother Lee's mind, it's these four questions. And he repeated it. I like to know, the Lord might say, how many did you beget? How many did you shepherd? How many did you perfect? All for the body. How faithful were you to prophesy? Well, in the home, we could have all of this. Normally. You know, saints, the Lord, I told you last time about our robins. Did I tell you about our robins? Yeah, Brother Jim Spade is honest. You know, when I was in the training, I would tell stories and I would forget that I told them. And the trainees just wanted to hear it again. So when I asked them, I said, did I tell you this? And they said, no. Anyway, let me tell you about our robins. You know, we have a porch light that's, you know, it's just circular on the top, flat, perfect for a bird's nest. And sure enough, you know, some robins came along and they started to build a nest, and I wasn't having any of it. So I took that little portion and I put it on a shrub. And the next day, she was at it again. So, you know, Darlene and I talked. We said, well, let's let them go. Just let them go. Let's observe. Let's learn something. So there they were, you know, laboring for the nest. For what purpose? Begetting. And eventually, you know, the eggs were laid. And eventually the was it's three of them. Since that's where we ought to be for a morning revival. And then eventually there was further nourishing. And eventually there's a little perfecting, like get out and fly. And then, you know, there was the taking care of them after they exited the nest. And then we didn't see them anymore. And then you know what the robins did? They did it again. They did it again that same spring. This past spring. Three more. And you know, we were fellowshipping, Darlene and I were fellowshipping. All living creatures are doing this. Have you considered? That is the career of all living creatures. To beget, to nourish, and to perfect. And it seems like the whole creation is doing that, except for the Lord's recovery. Think about it. We have everywhere your eye turns, you know, you could see this message. Amen. Nourish, beget, perfect. Or sorry, you know, beget, nourish, perfect. I'm not sure about the prophet. That's where, you know, we're the ones that have to do that. All the trees will do is clap their hands. We have to do the prophesying. But saints, this is the message of nature. I must tell you, I removed the nest. Uh-oh. Mean me. I put it, you know, in a nice other spot. A nice other spot, somewhat under an overhang. You know, I was doing my best to be humane. From your reaction, maybe I should put it back where it was. But I think I've seen the lesson. I think I've got the lesson. The whole creation is doing this. How about us? We felt so, I don't know. When we considered our situation in the recovery. Oh. We need a nest. We need a more intimate setting for the begetting, the nourishing, the perfecting, issuing eventually in the prophesying for the building up of the body of Christ. We need to go from big to smaller, dear saints. We need to have a change of mind. Number four, the best setting for all of this, of course, is the vital groups. This is the issue, the bullseye of Brother Lee's last 12 years of labor. Saints, you know, the vital groups, you know, 8 or 10 or 12, however big they are, that's still corporate.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Oh, brother, you know, what about the corporate? That's corporate. It's just smaller corporate. That's still what the Lord wants. That's still the setting for the building up of the body. It's just there's a lot more settings in the church life. A lot more homes. I realize I'm talking to churches that are relatively small. I don't know what Pittsburgh's doing, but they're doing something right. You understand what I'm saying, yes, dear saints? Even if we're small, we still need this. We need the vitality. We need to be living and active in this way. We're still corporate, but we're smaller. Still corporate, but smaller. I like to repeat that. Still corporate, but smaller. Let's all say that. Still corporate, but smaller. More manageable for the Lord to do his, right, begetting, nourishing, perfecting work and prophesy. You know, some people are scared to death to come to a big meeting like this and stand up and speak. They, you know, and in some of the churches, you know, they have microphones, you know, boom, boom. And, you know, some of the sisters, they look at those microphones. Whoa, I'm not going up there. No. But if you're in a living room, you understand what I'm saying? If you're in a living room, you know, with 10 or 12 or 8, whatever, you know, you're not so intimidated. Am I right? Yes. Saints, this is what the Lord wants.
Amen.
See it.
Amen.
Practice it.
Amen.
Be living and active.
Amen.
In this way. In this biblical way.
Amen.
Well, number 5. This will not be easily grasped or practiced. We were told this. The problem is, saints, you know, we're all kind of lazy. You know, the old God ordained way, so we just kind of dabble in it. Oh, it doesn't work. I knew it wouldn't. And then you drop it. This is our problem. We need the sevenfold intensified spirit for us to grasp this and to practice it here at the end of the age. So Lord will get what he's after. That is the built up body, but not in the way you thought. Satan is against this. That's why 24 years have gone by. Brother Lee's gone. You know, you look around, nothing. We don't even talk about it. I was in the full-time training, and, you know, the trainees have a God-ordained way class, but I asked them, on different occasions, I asked them, how many of you, before you came to the training, never heard of the God-ordained way? Never heard of it. Forget about practicing. You never heard of it, you know, in your church life. You know how many? 40%. We don't talk about it. We need to talk about it. E, a vital group. What do we mean by this? Once again, it is a small blended group, not a collection of individuals. It is corporate. And this is the Lord's way. You will get blended. You know, again, we hear about blending. We think about, you know, a big number. But saints, you know, when there's 8 of us, it's very easy for us to be blended. Practically. Not a collection of individuals. It's corporate. This has but always been the Lord's way. Saints, do you realize the Lord Jesus and the 12 disciples were a vital group?
Amen.
Think about it. 13 people there. One was a bad apple. What did they do? They were together all the time. Went out and preached the gospel. They begot people. Then they nourished, both physically and spiritually. And there was a lot of teaching and perfecting, mutual learning. Peter goofs up in Matthew 16. The Lord Jesus says, turns to Peter, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he turns to the others, and he says, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." A lot of teaching, a lot of perfecting in that vital group. That was a vital group. There's a pattern there. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, the speaking spirit is very keen. And I'm, you know, this, I don't know about your reaction. But anyway, I have to do my job. That was the vital group. The Apostle Paul had his brothers that traveled. They went everywhere together, preaching the gospel, right? Nourishing, shepherding the saints. Perfecting the saints everywhere, rarely having a big meeting, always in the home. One time in the home, Paul shared a little bit too long and somebody fell out of the window, killed himself. Then Paul said, "Take it easy." And Paul resurrected him. But that was in the home. You can't fall out of the window and kill yourself here. A vital group is small, blended, corporate. Point two, it has three characteristics. Number one, or point A, a purpose. What's the purpose? Increase, perfecting, and building of the church. This is normal. John 15, abide, bear fruit, and then go forth and bear more fruit. And then that your fruit should remain. Implying shepherding and perfecting. And then the vital group has a nature, and the nature is spiritual. That is, we are daily filled with the Holy Spirit within and without. That's normal. So let me ask you, when's the last time you were filled with the Spirit outwardly? Inwardly, sure, lots, but outwardly, that means for work, for service. You know, the life study of Acts in our God's Economy class, our work is a matter of prayer, the Word, and the Spirit.
Amen.
No gimmicks are needed. The nature of the vital groups is spiritual. We are filled with the Spirit. We don't have a handbook. We have the Spirit to fill us inwardly and outwardly. See, the third characteristic, there's a condition with the vital groups. And that condition is loving one another in oneness and with one accord. To be maintained at any cost. This has an impact even on the world. Amen. You know, the Lord in John 17 talked about the oneness and that the world would believe, right? And know that the Father has sent the Son. Okay, brothers, we out of time. Are we out of time? A little bit. I know we got caterers coming because we have to keep a schedule. So I'm going to try to be quick to finish here. Too bad. Regarding life, once again, a vital group is living. Regarding service, it is active. Again, saints, all of this is not cheap. There is a price to pay. I don't need to go through this point again. We already did. There's a price. We need to be willing to fellowship and to blend in love and oneness, and even be accountable to the Lord in the matter of begetting, nourishing, right, perfecting, and prophesying. Paying such a price, we will be full of life and perfected for service. You know, I have a quote here. I'll read a little bit of it. This is from the collected works of Witness Lee, and 1955, volume 2, page 473. The responsibility and duty of the church involve life and service. Every Christian has these two aspects of responsibility before the Lord. From the time of the Lord's ascension until his second coming, we are on the earth, and we need to bear responsibility related to life and service. And saints, what I'm sharing, I'll stop there with that quote, is that our service, I believe, these days is very much in the setting of the vital groups. And then finishing up, such a vital group that we just described becomes a vessel for the Lord, as I said before, to continue to do today what he did while he was on the earth. Acts is still going on. Saints, I believe the Lord is waiting for this. He's waiting for this. Then three, the reward will be the kingdom. You know, when I was talking, you know, yesterday about, you know, the reward for the kingdom, you know, you're thinking, I don't know what in what terms you're thinking. But, you know, we need to start thinking in terms of the vital group. In terms of the vital group, right? Together we go out and preach the gospel. We get people saved. We nourish them, right? We perfect them, right? And we prophesy. Reward for that in the kingdom. Actually, the vital groups are the overcomers. Let me repeat that. The vital groups are the overcomers. Brother Lee eventually came right down and said that. If we're living, we'll be raptured early. If we're active, we'll receive the reward. We will be the overcomers. Last point, G, in the vital groups, we will realize the actuality, practicality, and reality of the building up of the body of Christ. Saints, this is more than just talk. I'm tired of the talk. We want actuality, practicality, and reality of the building up of the body of Christ. The blueprint has been given to us. Will we grasp this opportunity? Point one, will you be an overcomer?
Yes.
Let me ask you again. Will you be an overcomer?
Yes.
In the vital groups, we will no doubt be produced as the overcomers. Saints, will you make this choice?
Yes.
Christ is calling. Christ is calling. I do believe Christ is calling.
Amen.
Listen to his voice. He wants his body built up.
Amen.
He wants his bride prepared. And here is his biblical, manageable way to do it.
Amen.
Last point, or the second to last point. The overcomers, I don't have time to read the quote. Brother Lee equated the overcomers with the vital groups. And that's in Practical Points Concerning Blending, page 17, if you ever want to look it up. Then let's all read the last point together, point three.
Exercise.
Saints, we need to pray, pray, pray.
Amen.
Then it's good to fellowship with the leading brothers in our locality. And then practice, practice, practice.
Amen.